How are you guys going today?
Good, yeah.
Not bad.
Just tired, still bouncing back, but we're good.
Yeah, pre-band practice interview.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
It's quite hard to find stuff about you online, you know, it's all very fresh. I'm going to give you the space to introduce yourselves. For the people who haven't heard your music yet, or haven't heard about you, what would you like to tell them about yourselves?
Yeah, we're an indie rock band from LA. We're a group of six lifelong friends who sort of collaborate on songwriting in a maybe unique way. Each band member contributes their own songs and sings them, and then we work together in the studio to produce those songs and then bring them to life on stage, which is a really fun part of the progress. But you know, our music ranges anywhere from country, folk, to noise, you know, rock, experimental, stuff like that. So that's kind of the overarching idea of the band and the heart of the band.
And then a lot of the stuff that is out there about you guys, the friendship is a huge element of what's like a driving factor behind the band, but also as a listener, something that you pick up on. And you have said that you were all in bands together previously in like various iterations. How did that kind of culminate into Dutch Interior?
The band started during COVID. Me and Noah and Jack, 20 of the members, were living together, and then my friend Connor too. He would come over and we would kind of just, we had like a tape machine in our living room. And our whole first record that's out is those sessions where we would just drink very heavily and then like kind of just hit play on a record and just like make songs for fun. And we ended up not really ever thinking we'd do anything with it. And then like 2 years later, we just like put it on Spotify just for fun. And then didn't think about it for like another 6 months. And then one of our friends texted us and was like, do you want to play a house show? And we were like, sure. And then we became a band. But before that, I mean, we've kind of always just been such good friends and like always been musicians. So like, we're going to do it regardless. It just kind of took a more formal space, I guess, as it just like things.
Yeah. Music has been sort of the thread through each of our lives and friendships growing up. Davis and the drummer have known each other since they were babies. And me and the guitar player Connor met in fourth grade in guitar class. Our keyboard player, his brother's with our drummer, they've been making music. Each of us sort of, music was a piece of our, like a major piece of our lives. And then us being friends, naturally, we just like, we're always making music together. And then I think Dutch Interior was sort of like the final iteration of that experience together for us as friends. It was like, okay, we've all been doing this, making music, let's do something and kind of find its final form. Yeah, as Dutch Interior, which was really fun.
Yeah, it was really natural though. It was like, there was no like real.
Yeah.
It was never like, oh, us, we're a band. Like, let's fucking do it. It just kind of just happened that way.
It was the thing that made the most sense.
Yeah.
In all of our lives.
As you just mentioned before, you kind of like a happy accident, just like playing around with tapes and drinking and all of that good stuff. How was the experience of making Moneyball, like moving to a more intentional, perhaps, creation method? Yeah, how did the record come to be?
Yeah, so it is, it's through all the projects that we've done, it's kind of just been, again, like a natural progression of, all right, we did the living room tape machine on the floor project. Where could we go next? Well, Shane's garage is open. Let's set it up there because we don't want to do it in the living room again. So now we're in a garage during the summer and we're making Still on Tape, Blinded by Fame, and just kind of same thing, bringing our songs together, releasing that as the first project. We're like, okay, this is kind of like a band thing. We're going to put Blinded by Fame out. And then after that, it was like, okay, people kind of like this. Like, what if we, you know, what's next? We're not going to do it in the garage again. Well, how about we get into a studio, like a proper studio? So that's when we ended up finding like a real space. And Jack, who's in the band, has some construction knowledge, and so he sort of helped us build this like kind of proper sound treated room in Long Beach where we're sort of based out of. And then Connor, who's like been our producer, he's the one who brought the tape machine over, you know, and so he kind of headed the studio side of things. And he's like, okay, well, let's get some good gear and start investing some more. into this next record, which would become Moneyball. It's intentional and it's not intentional. It's just sort of, again, the natural progression thing where it's like, okay, well, what if this record is, you know, maybe it's not on a tape machine this time. Let's do it on a computer, but still use the same sort of like heart and soul of like a recording process and songwriting and production and all that. And then, you know, we ended up signing a record deal halfway through, which helped out a lot too, because then we can think about maybe we get someone else to mix it as opposed to mixing it ourselves. We had a little bit of cash to work with. Mm-hmm. And then we called the album Moneyball because
they gave us money.
I saw that you guys wanted to call it what the advance from the label
was. They didn't think that was very funny.
I think that's hilarious. You should release the B-sides and name it with what that was. So through the singles that have been released so far, nostalgia is kind of like a prevalent theme. Are there other kind of specific themes that you've been harnessing through your creative process? Or do you want to speak a bit on nostalgia itself?
Yeah, I think it's just like the prevalence of like decay in American culture. So it's very like apparent through advertising and like internet usage, and I think that nostalgia is like a natural reaction to that. And I feel like a lot of media is being recycled back in our faces. That's like a little bit easier to consume. Are you doing anything?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like the themes, the themes in the songwriting and the themes that we like kind of present afterwards, sort of like if the creative direction, which Davis is like in charge of, he does all our music videos, all of our aesthetic, anything on the internet or marketing, album covers, stuff like that. So like we sort of just kind of tie it in to what naturally we're writing as a band at the time. So again, yeah, like nostalgia is definitely a big point in this, maybe like sort of a sense of, you know, loneliness, despair, kind of like the classic like sad music songwriter
stuff. Sad boy
stuff.
Indie bullshit, yeah.
But you know, it's just like the natural things that we write about, but we don't really come in it with an intention. It's sort of just, you know, a screenshot of how we're all feeling in a 6-month period before we go to record the album. Mm-hmm. Blinded by Fame, I feel like, had a little more lighter themes.
Yeah, for this sure. one's a lot more fucking depressing.
Which is funny to see as a group of 5 songwriters and best friends. It's like how the cohesion happens is so natural because we're, you know, the proximity to each other and our influences and our experiences in our lives. So it kind of just like falls on the table. It's like, okay, this is what we all wrote about. And then Davis helps tie everything together. He's also written a song as well, but sort of ties things together too with like the ultimate creative direction of the album.
I guess this is just kind of like being a semi-new artist. This happens often being compared to other musicians such as MJ Lindemann. You've compared a song of yourselves to Fleetwood Mac. You said it was like a depressing Fleetwood Mac song or something. Do you have specific influences that you guys are intentionally going after? I also heard that you're a fan of School Fair from New Zealand.
Dee mixed Blinded by Fame for us, or mastered. Yeah, so we've been like back and forth in contact with them for like a long, we're actually just talking about how their like dream tour with us would be to play with them and stuff. But yeah, we're huge fans of School Fair. It's very rare we'd like pull up a specific thing and be like, we should make a song that sounds like this. But like, you know, through us hanging out so much, I'll be like, you know, like noise and like drone and stuff is like what I really like. And like a lot of like ambient and like noise rock music. And then like my influences will have like little tidbits that shine their head because we'll all suggest things that like aren't specifically in reference to that. But I'll be like, oh, what if we did like a more distorted thing here or something of that nature. And then Noah really likes like, I don't know, a lot of like country guitar,
yeah,
like Eaglesy harmony based stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like we each kind of have our zone in a sense of like what genres or bands influence us, but there's so much crossover it's hard to tell where it's coming from. Specific influences, I don't know, we've been talking about it so much, but I feel like I can't think of one.
Like Wilco probably is like the clip. Like we're just kind of ripping off Wilco. For the most part. But it's a different thing. You know, there's more songwriters and stuff like that, but they use a wide range of like rock to country to like outsider music influence that I think is probably like a capture sort of what we try to do as well. They also like self-produce a lot of their stuff. And
it's interesting seeing, like, especially at the moment with bands like Wednesday, seeing this weird crossover between like noise and shoegaze and country.
Yeah, totally, definitely.
You said that you do all of the like visual aspects of stuff, and also you're named after paintings.
Yes, yes.
What's the like importance of art direction behind a band's image? Because your music video is amazing, your album covers are beautiful, it's very clear that you've got a strong mind about visual arts as well.
Yeah.
What's the pairing between the music and the visual arts like to play with?
It's 100% just gut feeling. Like, I just know when something feels like Dutch interior. I just have been a person that's always thought very visually. Like when I hear stimulus, it's like just like picture stuff. So when I think of stuff, I'll just listen to the songs over and over and just write whatever comes in my head. And that can go to like different stuff. I also really like stealing. So I steal a lot. And I think that also works with like the band itself too. I think I like hiding us in things that are already like representative. And it kind of like adds this weird, like just like our last tour flyer is like a Google image. Like I took Google images and copied all their fonts and like everything and used their whole layout to like make our tour fly with like our own images in it.
Oh, that's sick.
But I think it's really cool. It has like nostalgia and familiarity. I just think it's like, I don't know exactly how it plays. I just think it's important. I think a lot of bands don't put the effort into it as much or just don't see the value in it. It just goes to show like types of people that like don't value that. And that's okay. You know, like it's just something personally that's like really important to me and like something that I find fascinating when taking someone from being a band I love and I love their music to being like, oh, this is my favorite band of all fucking time. Because all of these little things are considered and it's like this perfect world that I can immerse myself into. And like every little thing's considered rather than just like, oh, here's a photo or a photo that I put on my cover or here's me with my guitar like this, you know. I just think that the output should be as quality as the music is.
You're so right about saying that that's kind of what pushes a band to the next level. Because you can immerse yourself into the world visually as well as sonically. Well, it was just so lovely to chat to you guys. Is there anything else that you want to specifically kind of put out into the world?
No, I mean, listen to Moneyball on Thursday or Friday, whenever it comes out.
It comes out.
Tomorrow, I think it comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 9.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know, my head's been in the ground for so long. I feel like I'm fucking crazy. I'm sorry.
We did 16 shows at a music festival last week.
At South By.
We just got back and played a show while we were driving home, where we stopped and did a show after. It was chaotic.
Yeah, so everyone's very like either borderline sick or like exhausted or just staring at the ceiling kind of vibe right now. I'm no good at overconsumption. Playful affect deserted. Old timelines behind me. I don't play that well with others. My sandcastle molds all came without shovels. All our hopes were surely erode with time. Stone to sand, I just want to know where it all goes. Is decided, the reactor is swelling. If I died, I would not disturb you. No crosses flipped over, just memories and static. Wanna know where it all goes.